A man went to visit a psychiatrist. He said, I got two problems. The psychiatrist said, okay, tell me about it. The man began, well, I think I am a Pepsi vending machine. The doctor set the man right down and started going through his bag repertoire, but nothing seemed to help. Finally, out of exasperation, the doctor jumped to his feet, took three quarters from his pocket, forced them down the man's throat, grabbed him by the head, and shook him till he swallowed the money. Triumphantly, he said, okay, give me a Pepsi. The man replied, I can't, doc. That's my second problem. I'm out of order. The world today is definitely out of order. In other words, crisis. The health crisis is not new. Just within the last decade, the world has suffered from swine flu, West African Ebola, and Zika virus. The oldest pandemic happened in China 5000 BC, which wiped out a whole village. The Black Death in Eurasia and North Africa between 1346 and 1353 killed 75 to 200 million people. Spanish flu in 1918 and 1920 infected about 500 million people and about 100 million died from it. The world has seen a lot of pandemics, but still limited to a continent or two. What is unique about the pandemic of COVID-19 is it spread quickly worldwide by air travels. It has immobilized basic daily routine by worldwide stay-in-home order, which has created domino effects to every sector of our lives. I was looking for an example of crisis in the Bible. What would be a fitting example of crisis in a bigger scale, rather? In my opinion, one that fits would be the national crisis that people of Israel faced right after their exodus. By God's mighty intervention, they were finally freed from centuries-old slavery. But soon Egyptians changed their mind and wanted to bring their slaves back. Israel did not have any organized military force, nor did they have any weapons. Even if they had, it was impossible to defeat the world's most powerful military force. Egyptians were chasing Israel with chariots. The Bible describes it in a concrete manner. 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers all over them. Basically, Pharaoh gathered all the available chariots and trained soldiers in Egypt to come after Israel. Israel could not escape, nor could they fight them. They were in the open desert without any kind of protection and were cornered against the Red Sea. Israel was terrified. They began to think that slavery would have been better than dying in the desert. A biblical definition of crisis from this text is as follows. You are in a catch-22 situation. The problem you are struggling against is beyond your power, and you cannot run from it. You only have few options. You could choose to fight, but likelihood is that you would be ended up losing your livelihood. If you do not fight, then you are going to spend the rest of your life suffering from the consequences. None of those choices could save you. There seems to be no breakthrough to the situation you are in. To make it worse, nobody could help you come out of it. No one around you is in a better shape than you are. In fact, they are in the same boat. What a depressing dilemma it is. What did the people of Israel do? They did two things. Firstly, they complained to Moses, "Why did you not leave us alone? Dying of slavery would have been better than being massacred in the desert." Likewise, people in crisis would try to find a target and blame someone for it. Accusing someone for crisis does not improve the situation. It actually worsens it in crisis. You need the support from people as much as possible. Blaming someone, especially your valued leader, and pushing potential supporters away are not a wise thing to do. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. God answered their cry through Moses. "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." When we are helpless, when we are surrounded by enemy forces and our hope is gone, we need to cry out to the Lord for salvation. We may think that we have reached our end, but God does not think so. God knows our dilemma and the lack of our ability. God is ready to intervene our crisis and says, "Let me take it from here. You do not have to do anything. Just leave it up to me. I will fight the life's battle on your behalf. You just sit down and watch what I do for you." God's salvation for Israel at the time of Exodus is only one example of countless accounts of crisis. The Bible is literally filled with instances of crisis and how the saints of God overcame them. Before life-threatening circumstances, all the heroes and heroines of faith have one common method to manage crisis. They trusted in God and asked God to involve in their crisis. Christ is common to everyone and every nation. And there are common methods to manage crisis as well. I use the phrase common methods because they are tried and true by clouds of witnesses. The first common method to manage crisis is to trust in God. As I mentioned earlier, crisis does not leave us a lot of choices. In fact, from the perspective of Exodus, crisis means that humanly possible solutions have run out. Nothing is left to bring normality back. Inviting God's intervention is the only choice and also the best one. In other words, in the words God spoke through Moses, trusting God has a deeper meaning. When Israelites could not do a thing to defeat the Egyptians, God said, I'm going to fight the battle for you. You need only to be still. Have you done this before? You trust in God so much that you become still and are at peace. There are different levels trusting God, partially or totally. What would or could you do in a humanly impossible circumstance? When nothing could be done, we could only rely on God fighting the battle for us and be still. This kind of trust in this kind of situation is a total trust. Total trust is simply because of our inability and our necessity. Being still by wholly trusting in God brings a total calmness to our hearts. The world may be in turmoil, but our hearts could be at peace. When you experience turbulence in your hearts and lives, trust Him completely until you have a perfect peace. The second common method is moving on. The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." Crisis itself may not be as destructive as it appears, but depends on how people react to it, it could ruin some people's lives. People tend to freeze before a harsh reality and do not know how to get out of it. This was how Israel initially reacted to the pursuit of Egyptians. But God said, "Move on, do not stay there." Now, the Red Sea was impossible for millions of people to cross. The Red Sea meant a different kind of destruction. Like the Red Sea, moving on into the unknown territory is not exactly motivating. People would rather stay on land than going down into the Red Sea. God often uses crisis for us to rethink and reevaluate our purpose and cause us to move on. If not crisis, we would remain in the same place very comfortably. But God wants us to come out of our comfort zone. Now, do not be confused moving on with escapism. God does not want us to run from our responsibilities and realities. And yet, there are times that God wants us to take a different path. Because of our tendency to comfortably settle in one place, God would use crisis to reroute our journey. Moving on accompanies a lot of uncertainties. What is out there in the new world? Is it worth of taking a risk? Making a change could be difficult, and it needs a backup by the first common method of crisis management, that is, trusting in God completely. And the way that I interpret that trusting in God here in the Word of God means trusting in God not just partially but completely. And to take this new action of moving on, it requires of trusting in God completely. Trust that God will be there in the new path. move on and trust God to do what He promised. Walter Wengerin Jr., from his book Mourning into Dancing, shares a following story. When I was a boy, I told people that my father was stronger than anyone else in the world. So I would go out on the front porch and roar to the neighborhood, "My daddy's arm is as strong as a truck, the strongest man in the world." In those days, a cherry tree grew in our backyard. This was my hiding place, 10 feet above the ground. A stout limb made a horizontal fork, a cradle on which I could lie face down, reading, thinking, being alone. One day, suddenly, a wind tore through the backyard, struck my cherry tree with such force that it ripped the book from my hand and nearly threw me from the limb. I locked my arms around the forking branches and hung on. Daddy saw me, and right away he came out into the wind and the weather, and I felt so relieved because I just took it for granted that he would ride up the tree to get me, climb right up the tree to get me. But that wasn't his plan at all. He came to a spot right below me and lifted his arms and shouted, "Jump! I'll catch you!" Jump? I had a crazy man for a father. He was standing 6 or 7 miles beneath me, holding up 2 skinny arms and telling me to jump. But the wind and rain slapped that cherry tree, bent it back, cracked my limb at the trunk. I dropped a foot. Then the wood whined and splintered and sank. So did I in bloody terror. No, I did not jump. I let go. I surrendered. I fell. But my father caught me. Now in such a storm, the tree which was our stable world is shaken, and instinct makes us grab it tighter. But our own strength, we grip the habits that have helped us in the past, repeating them, believing them. We'd rather trust what is then what might be, that is, our power, our reason, and feeling, and endurance. We spend a long time screaming, "No!" But always, God is present. God has always been present. And it is God who says, "Jump." The whole world is in crisis. Individually, you might have either gone through one or you are going through one right now. Try the crisis management that countless saints of God have tried and proved true. Trust in Him, not just partially, but completely, and be still. Do not get stuck in crisis, but move on, trusting God completely. And God is going to divide the sea and lead you and me into the land of His promise. Amen.